Well, if you would, please turn with me to the passage for this morning. This is in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You're going to find that on page 960 in the Pew Bible. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod heard the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art now the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, required of them diligently that what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." So leading up to today, the elders have been specific in what we are teaching about the Advent and the Advent season. Brian taught us that we need to be expectant of Jesus and watch for him. Aiden taught us that the Lord gives a sign. Rick taught us that Jesus was to be born to save his people from their sins. And on this holy Christmas morn, I will answer the question, how do we respond? I have a lot of memories of Christmases throughout my life. As a child, I enjoyed the famous poem penned by Clement C. Moore, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." What appealed to me about that poem was the imagery of the quietness of the house, with everyone snuggled up and sleeping on a cold winter's night. And my favorite line in that poem is, "The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below." I love snow, and I love the look of fresh-fallen snow, with a full moon casting its light on the white, sparkling surface. I remember waking up in the middle of the night as a child and looking out the window at the snow with a Christmas tree covered in lights and silver garland in the foreground. We had a nativity scene that I envisioned as a realistic replication of the real-life scene, complete with shepherds and animals watching over the baby Jesus with Mary and Joseph by his side. There was a small light in the stable, and it was the only light on in the middle of the night in our house. What a great memory. There are so many others. I recall riding around with my parents looking at Christmas lights on cold, snowy nights and taking my kids to do the same. I have fond memories of decorating the tree in our house, first when I was a child, and then when I was a father, and then now as a grandfather. I remember going to Sunset Home to sing carols praising God with the youth group and walking the staircase at the old hospital building on Sunset Grounds, which isn't there anymore. There are so many memories to fill our minds, aren't there? You know, with the time that we spend together with family at Christmas, we just have so many memories. But as we make our way to the Advent, we must remember the most important event of all time. God sent his Son, born of a virgin, God in human flesh, the Christ child, the long-awaited Messiah. How do we respond to the birth of Emmanuel in the city of David more than 2,000 years ago. Let us read God's holy word and find out. Israel's contempt toward God is apparent as we read the Old Testament. God set aside Israel, Jacob and his descendants, to be his. He wanted them to be holy and follow him. It was a regular habit for them to ignore God for a time, and when he disciplined them, they repented and followed. This pattern went on and on, spanning generations. And the prophets were sent to proclaim God's righteous response and leading, that they would listen to God and follow him. Alas, they denied God. Let us hear from the prophet Isaiah. This is in chapter 5 of Isaiah. And in chapter 5, God describes Israel as a vineyard that he looked for to yield grapes. But it yielded wild grapes, not those found in a vineyard, for they committed offenses against God. And in verse 5 and 6 of Isaiah chapter 5, God said, "And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it." And then also in chapter 5, going down to verse 14, it says, "Therefore, Sheol has enlarged its appetite and opened its mouth beyond measure. And the nobility of Jerusalem and her multitude will go down, her revelers and he who exults in her." The Israelites just did not follow God. And it was a regular habit. And God disdained their actions. And then you see what was written, was proclaimed by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 5. And as the Lord continues to speak through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 9, we are given much hope as God proclaims a new covenant, which we read from this morning, but I'll read again verses 6 and 7 of chapter 9. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth, and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." When God demanded holiness and his people did not comply, God made another way to him. And so, if you would please turn with me to Luke chapter 2. This is on page 1018 in the Pew Bible. And we will read from verse 1. Luke chapter 2, and we'll start reading with verse 1. "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Jesus is our King and Priest. And I would like to walk you through some verses here. And you don't necessarily need to follow along trying to get through the Bible as I'm reading these. But the first one is from Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory, and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." In Jeremiah 23:5, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king, and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." And from Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And in Luke 19:18, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And then from our text this morning in Matthew 2:2, Herod asked, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" And in John 18, verses 36 through 37, speaking to Pontius Pilate before his crucifixion, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born. And for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 13 through 15. "I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, and Lord of lords." And in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 21 through 26, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, Jesus, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save the uttermost, those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Jesus is our King and our priest. He paid the price for our sin. And because he lives forever, that atonement lasts forever. And in Revelation chapter 19, verses 13 through 16, he is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus, of course, is also the long-awaited Messiah, the Savior. From Luke chapter 2, verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And from John chapter 1, verses 40 through 41, one of the two who heard John the Baptist speak and follow Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. Jesus came to save our sin. And those who had been long awaiting him recognized him as Messiah. So what should our response be to this? If Jesus is our King and our Messiah and our priest, interceding for us at the right hand of God, what should be our response? What was the response of the shepherds? What was the response of the wise men? From Luke chapter 2, verse 10, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. So we should have great joy. And from Luke 2, 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And a few verses down from Luke 2, 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And from Luke 19, verse 37, as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. So we contrast the birth of our Savior on that winter night so long ago to this great rejoicing when he re-enters Jerusalem on a donkey, and people are rejoicing and praising God. And for some of them, that probably wasn't sincere, because we know that, in fact, many of them turned on him. But there was rejoicing and praising God. And I think it's also a reminder that in that day, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then back to our text from this morning, in Matthew chapter 2. And starting with verse 7. Excuse me, chapter 2, starting with verse, and this is verse 2, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Herod knew what the prophecy was, and he was greatly concerned that this king had been born, and he was greatly distressed what that would mean for him. But he proclaimed, even here, Jesus, or called Jesus, King of the Jews. And then starting with verse 7, then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. So our response to Christ's coming should be to be filled with exceeding great joy and to bow down and worship him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being wrapped in a dream, warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. The long-awaited Messiah, the promised Savior, came on Christmas over 2,000 years ago. Behold our King, Jesus our Savior. Christian, rejoice and worship him. And non-Christian, God wants all to follow him. He has already paid the costly price for salvation through the birth and sacrifice of his Son for the forgiveness of denying him. He awaits all who will believe. Come and believe. Please pray with me. Father God, O Lord, we humble ourselves before you. Our great God, and before our Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we know that the only response, the only right response, is to rejoice and be full of joy and fall down and worship you. Father, we thank you that while we know that there's nothing good in us, Lord, we know that we can't fool ourselves into thinking that. But Lord, the only thing that we can do is to submit to you, Father, to accept the free gift of Jesus Christ as payment for our sin. Father, we thank you for that great salvation. Father, we thank you for sending your Son, born of a virgin, to live a life as a man, fully God and fully man, that he would take away our sin for all those who believe. Father, we thank you for that great salvation. We praise and worship you, O Lord. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.